This is Worship First Podcast with Reverend Eleanor Coleman, pastor of First United Methodist Church in College Station, Texas. We thank you for joining us today and hope that this message inspires you. And remember, God is with you wherever you go.
Yeah.
Please join us for a word of prayer.
Awesome God, we bow before you this day knowing beyond a shadow of a doubt that all power rests in your hands. And so whatever the need is that we bring into the sanctuary this day, whatever the secret prayer, even in our heart, that we'll never say to another soul, we know that all power rests in your hands. And so we thank you, Lord God, for your power alive and at work in this world. We thank you for your power alive and at work in us. Scripture says, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Jesus himself said, and you will do even greater things than what I have done. And so we thank you, Lord, that all power rests in your hands, and you have chosen to bless us, to fill us, to overflow us with that same power. Lord, help us to be the disciples that call on you this Holy Week, that lift up our Hosanna, Hosanna, all week long. Help us to lift up our hallelujahs to you, oh God, because truly you deserve the praise. God, help us to be mindful of our ways so that we're not those disciples who by Friday are hollering, crucify him, crucify him. Help us to live a life that lifts you up and never lets you down. Bless us to be the people that you would have us to be. Bless your children all over this world. Meet every need, oh God, according to your riches and glory. In Christ's holy name we pray. Amen. Amen.
We serve a generous and giving God, so don't forget to worship through your giving. You can give online by visiting firstcollegestation.org and clicking on the Giving tab. Remember FIRST as in the number ST. The ability to give is as close as your smartphone when you text GIVE to 979-399-8303 or download the Ministry One app. Don't forget, you can still give using the QR code on the bulletin online or mail your checks to the church at 1125 Welburn Road, College Station, Texas 77840. Thank you for your generosity.
What you see? The Bible says, as he was now approaching the path down from the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the deeds of power that they had seen, saying, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven."
We're reading this morning from Luke, the 19th chapter, Luke 19, starting at verse 28. This Jesus' triumphant entry into Jerusalem. Luke 19, verse 28. After Jesus had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethpage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. And if anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' say, 'The Lord needs it.' Those who were sent went ahead and found it just as he had told them. And as they were untying the colt, its owner asked them, 'Why are you untying the donkey?' They replied, 'The Lord needs it.' They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. And as he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. And when he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest.' Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, 'Teacher, rebuke your disciples.'" Some translations say, "Tell them to stop." And Jesus replied, "I tell you, if they keep quiet, the rocks will cry out." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Awesome God, we give you thanks that all power is in your hands. We give you thanks for your Son that you sent into the world to set all things right. God, we give you thanks for the ways that he taught in private settings, in homes, and in public settings like synagogues. And we give thanks for the way he taught on this day, just as he marched along the road in all his glory. Help him teach us even now, God, how we can be more like you. And so I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of every heart is acceptable and pleasing in your sight. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Friends, our lesson on this lovely Palm Sunday is a palm's perspective. Because point of view matters, friends. If you watch a parade, which is what they are seeing in the text, if you watch a parade from street level versus from the balcony above, let's say on Bourbon Street, the view is very different. If you watch a parade from the sidelines versus being a part of the moving procession, your understanding of it, your perspective of it is different. And even in that moving crowd, the driver's point of view as they focus on the float in front of them is very different from the person that's standing up doing the perfect pageant wave or throwing out souvenirs from the float. They all have a different point of view. Perspective matters. And certainly, if you're watching the parade from the comfort of your own home, that's an entirely different thing. If you're not experiencing the Texas heat for a Juneteenth parade or a 4th of July march, or if you aren't experiencing the New York winds on that Thanksgiving Day parade, we miss the entire experience by not being out there, if you will, with the community. Yes, you can still hear the music from home. Yes, you can still see the dancers, but something's happening when we have to cut away to our announcers and we don't get to experience that part, whatever is floating along behind them. We miss some things. We miss the community, the camaraderie of just being there together, shoulder to shoulder in the crowd, trying to get the best view. And we miss out on the prizes, y'all. We don't get that from our couch. We miss out on the prizes. And our gospel text today tells the story of a parade with the most fantabulous prize ever. Psalm 118 tells us that the prize that day was salvation. That's why the folks were yelling out, "Save us, save now." And yes, the folks who did not leave the comfort of home that day, they are still a part of the salvation story, but they aren't witnesses. Perspective is everything. Many of us, we weren't there that day. We're beneficiaries. We get the prize too from that parade day. We call ourselves believers, and yet some of us may not be witnesses, may not be the kind of disciples that Jesus can trust to send on ahead on assignment as he does those in verses 30 and 31. We'll come back to those two later. But for now, we are checking out the crowd, the folks who decided to line the streets during Jesus's triumphal entry. Surely they had heard something. This text says they were out there shouting because of the miracles that they had seen. They had seen something, heard something that urged them to show up that day, to not sleep in, to not just hear about it next week when they went to gather water at the well, or next week at the Lincoln Center or Cheddar's or wherever they were going to be hanging out. They decided they didn't want to just hear about it. They wanted to see for themselves, because they had already seen somebody come back into the village who had left out lame. They'd already seen someone in perfect health who the doctors had lost all hope for. They'd already seen something, heard something that made them say, "Let me go see for myself. Let me go see for myself. Let me see if I can get a healing. Let me see if I can experience breakthrough. She did. Let me see if there's hope for me. Let me see if the blood still works for me. Let me see if amazing grace will come looking for me too." Perspective is everything. We can ask the woman with the issue of blood about that. If she had tried to walk right up to Jesus that day, all those folks would have stared her down and stirred up all that shame that was in her. Too many folks in that crowd understood the letter of the law, but not the spirit of the law. They knew what the Bible said we were supposed to do, but not why we're supposed to do that thing, or how we're supposed to do that thing. And so all those folks would have reminded her of all the reasons why she was unworthy and unwelcome that day. So she humbled herself, changed her perspective. She humbled herself. She got on her knees and focused on the one who is able. She focused on the name that is above all names, scripture tells us. And I wonder if we've ever gotten that kind of focused in our prayer life. I wonder if we're people that will spend much time on our knees like that woman with the issue of blood. Friends, she got focused on the power of Jesus Christ. She got focused on the power in the hem of his garment in some kind of way. She wasn't worried about reaching the stole, the collar, the lapel, a pocket, nothing. She got focused on the hem of his garment. And from that perspective, she found what she was looking for, healing. She even found acceptance that she didn't even know she needed when he began to call her a daughter. When she changed her perspective, when she stopped looking for humans to do what only God can do, she got a breakthrough. Perspective is everything. We could ask the 10 folks with leprosy who got healed, but only one came back to give thanks. Gratitude, church, can change our situation even before it changes. Amen. That's why the crowd was out there on that Palm Sunday singing like the kids sang earlier at the opening of service, Hosanna. They were out there saying, Hosanna, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord, gratitude. In other words, we give thanks for the one that's coming with our blessing, coming with our deliverance. Thank you, God, for the one that's coming with my come up. Amen. Gratitude changes perspective, and perspective matters. We could ask the 99, or you could ask the one. If you're the 99, the sheep that never stray from the fold, the sheep that always do what they're told, you might feel annoyed some kind of way when the good shepherd always slowing down the procession. We can't get to the still waters. We can't get to the green pasture, because here the good shepherd goes off looking for that one again. But if you're the one, if you're the one that's always doing the most, or in the case of discipleship, always doing the least. Amen. Perspective matters. You're grateful when the good shepherd comes looking for you, when grace comes to find you. The 99 get tired of things slowing down, waiting on the one to catch up. But Jesus says that all of heaven will rejoice over just one soul being saved. And so it seems perspective matters. If you're that one soul that God has gone out to look for today. And likewise, in today's text, perspective matters. In Matthew's version of this story, the folks were climbing trees and waving their branches, Hosanna. People were laying down palms in the street for the teacher to travel over. Imagine, if you will, that every palm was a praise. Every palm was a praise, and whether it was waved high from above or held in one hand at street level, because you're trying to catch Jesus's eye, trying to catch Jesus's heart. Maybe if he sees me, he'll stop for me like they say he did for that lady, like they say he did for blind Bartimaeus. So maybe you on street level waving that palm so he can see you seeing him with all power. Or maybe you out there tired. It took everything you had to get there, but you ain't got no more strength to be competing with the crowd. You don't have any more strength to wave your palm, and so you just lay it at his feet for him to walk over. Every praise, every palm was a praise. Every palm was saying, Lord, you are good. Lord, you are great and greatly to be praised. God, you are worthy to be praised, from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same. Every palm that was out there was saying, Lord, you are all powerful. You are the only true and wise God. You are the only name that we know to call on, God. Lord, do you see me? Do you see my palm? I know that you're the source of my supply. That's why I came out here this day, because I heard that you are the great I am. Lord, I heard somebody say that you are better to us than we are to ourselves. So every palm was waving with some sort of praise. I wonder if every palm is a praise. What do the palms you wave say today? Whether that's the kind that we march in with, or whether that's your own holy hands that you lift up to God, what do your palms have to say today? What is the testimony of the palm that you lay at his feet in the street? Imagine, if you will, that every palm laid down is a praise. Imagine that every palm is a prayer. In verse 37 and 38, the text tells us that the crowd was yelling, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven. Let me translate that for you. That was a prayer for freedom. That was a prayer for justice. They were lifting up a king who wasn't the king, was not the Roman king. And so as they lifted him up, basically they were saying, deliver us. Deliver us from this unjust kingdom. Bring God's kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. And Jesus let them know that he was ready. How did he do that? Most people, most pilgrims journeying to the temple for Passover in this season would have walked into the community. Only a king would enter riding on anything. Now, most kings would have come in on a horse, a war horse even, telling you the kind of leader, how they were going to bring their justice, let you know that they're ready to fight. But Jesus comes in riding on a donkey to announce his power. Not even a donkey he owns, but the Roman soldiers had the right to just walk up to you on your horse and say, I need that, to commandeer your animal for their purposes. And so Jesus has modeled that for us. He has said, I can come to you and say, I need what you have. I need your gifts. I need you in service. And so he comes in on a borrowed donkey that he has asked for, which shows that, yes, I'm a little different from everybody else that's showing up for the Passover this week, but I also come humbly in the name of God. I also come in peace in the name of God. And even in his humility, they could sense the presence of God. Even in his humility, they could feel the power of the Most High God. As we sang earlier, all power is in his hands. They knew that just by the way he entered. And so they began to pray. One of our key verses, Psalm 118, verses 25 through 26, they began to pray, save us. We beseech you, O Lord, save us. Give us success. And because they knew it was done, because they knew our God who listens, loves to leap into action for us, then they began to say, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. Save us. Friends, I wonder what the prayer of your palms is today. Whether you lift them up open to the Lord or whether you clasp them as you kneel before him in fervent prayer, your palms have a perspective on this day too. What is their prayer when the only one who is able to answer prayer is passing by? Imagine every palm is a praise. Imagine every palm is a prayer. Imagine every palm is a pledge to go with him all the way, a pledge that he will not have to bear the cross alone, a pledge that when he sends us on assignment, we can be trusted to go, a pledge that we won't turn on him, that our hosannas and our hallelujahs will never become a crucify him. Because this was the same crowd, y'all. We have to tell a little bit of this story, because if we don't, we'll just come and say, Hosanna, hallelujah. And then next week we'll come back and say, Christ is risen. But we'll never talk about the crucifixion. So I don't want you to miss it, that this was the same crowd. These folks praising, these folks praying, these are the same people in just a few days are going to sell him out for a few coins. These are the same people that in just a few days are going to say, I don't know him. I wasn't traveling with them. These are the same people that are going to say, crucify him. One Lenten devotion that I've been reading says, in Holy Week, it's important for us to remember that we are not the victims here. Christ is. We're so used to thinking about ourselves that even in a crucifixion text, it's easy for us to think about how somebody has crucified us, how someone has been unkind to us, how we had to turn the cheek when we were on a rough road. It's easy for us to do that because we teach that we want to be more like him as we sang. And so as we do our work of trying to be more like him, we try to think, well, what would Jesus do in a situation like this? How can I be more like him? That can be dangerous in a week like this. Because even though Jesus will teach us how to endure this week, even though he'll teach us how to handle our enemies this week, he will teach us how to give ourselves away, how to trust God even when we don't see God, even though he'll teach us how to press on even when your friends have long left you, even though he'll show us how to let God fight our battles this week, let's not get it twisted. We are not the ones on the cross this week. We are not the ones being betrayed. We are the ones about to betray him. We are not the victims. We are the disciples who fail him. Amen. We are the ones who don't return and say thank you. We are the crowd who forgets his benefits. How we see ourselves this Holy Week will make the difference in how we make the journey to the cross next week. Perspective matters. Psalm 103 warns us. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. We are the crowd who forgets his benefits. And so Luke 19 and 37 says the whole multitude of disciples was praising God. And friends, I want to know, are we in that number? Are we in that crowd that is praising the Lord, or are we watching the parade from home or some other vantage point? I wonder, are we settling for a second hand of count of what Christ can do, or are we seeking him for ourselves? Friends, what is your role in this great multitude of disciples? What do you have that can be used to bring honor to the King even as he moves through our community today? Is it a beautiful singing voice, an ability to speak well in public? Is it your organizational skills, a spirit of helpfulness? What do you have that God could use this day? Because Matthew says they waved and threw down palms. Luke says they waved the palms and threw down their coats, their only coat, everything they had, a coat they're not going to get back. A coat that you wouldn't want back after a donkey and all kind of people been walking all over it. So they gave what they had, is what both writers are saying. Use what you have to praise him. Use what you have to serve him. Use what you have to give, because the Lord needs it. Let's get back to those disciples in verses 30 and 31. The text says the whole crowd of disciples, a whole multitude was there, but he sent two. It doesn't say which two he sent. It doesn't say why he sent those two. It does say that they went, and not only did they go where he told them to go, because they could have stopped somewhere sooner. There go a donkey right there. We can get that one. They went where he told them to go. They said what he told them to say. They did it exactly how he said to do it. And the truth of the matter is, some of us are so convinced that our will is the way that we can't be sent. We can't be trusted to go and do it God's way. The truth of the matter is, some of us are so committed to having our say. My God, I'm in that number. I'm in that number sometimes. We're so committed to having our say that we can't say it the way Christ told us to say. So we can't be trusted to go in Jesus's name, doing it our way. Holy Week is a good week to commit our ways to Christ. Holy Week is a good week to decide to do it Jesus's way. It's a good time to decide to walk with him.
Just imagine, every palm is a praise. Every palm is a prayer. Every palm is a pledge, an offering unto God. And I wonder, what will you offer the Lord today? What is the perspective of your palms? Verse 39 says that some of the Pharisees told Jesus, order your disciples to stop. Make them stop. I wonder what kind of disciples we have to be for the enemies of God to say, stop them. I want that to stop. What are we doing in the name of Jesus that would compel the enemies of God to ask you to stop? Can you imagine that our praise and our worship would be so holy, so dynamic, so powerful? Can you imagine that our service in the community would make such a difference, that our witness in this world would make someone want to shut us down? What are your palms doing that's making a problem for the enemies of God? What are your palms doing to mess up the plans of oppression and depression? What are your palms doing to reassure somebody with anxiety today, to encourage them? What are your palms doing to stop the cycles of abuse in our community? What are your palms doing to end poverty, to push hope, to offer encouragement? What are your palms have to say today? What is your praise? What is your prayer? What is your pledge today? Jesus is making his triumphant entry even into our town this morning. Where will you watch that parade? And after today, where can the Lord find you? Because everybody shows up for the party, amen? And today the parade is a party. Where can he find us on Thursday when he's praying and crying and sweating blood in the garden? Where can he find us on Friday when he's hanging from the cross and not even tempted to come down and save himself? Where will he find us this week? Are we really ready to walk this road to the resurrection with him? Understanding that we got to make a pit stop through betrayal and beatings. We got to make a pit stop through crucifixion before we get to celebrate resurrection. Are we ready to walk that resurrection road? I think most of us would say yes today. Today. But the question will be asked again and again every day of our life. The question will be asked again and again every day this week. Are you able to stay faithful through suffering and betrayal? Are we able to stay faithful and not cause Christ suffering because of our betrayal? Are we able to drink from the cup of sacrifice that Christ drank from? That was his answer when the disciples get to arguing at that living Last Supper. Who is the greatest? Everybody at the table was thinking they were the goat. And Jesus said, this is what it looked like. I'm among you as one who serves. So the greatest among you will be the one with the biggest servant's heart. The one that's willing to humble themselves and serve anybody. That's how you'll know if you're the goat. If you can drink this cup that's been laid on me to lay down your life for friends, that's how you'll know. And so we'll get to pledge again when Christ asks us, can you drink this cup of sacrifice? Can you keep watch and pray with me? Not just for you, maybe for someone else, for a neighbor, somebody on your job, in your class. Can you keep watch and pray for this world? Can we keep our hosannas and hallelujahs from becoming crucify him? Friends, I wonder, are we ready to take up our cross and follow him? Let's hope so. because the celebration has already begun. And blessed is the one who comes. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Friends, would you take a moment to pray about how God has spoken to you through this message? Seeds have been planted today. God's word does not return void. It goes out and produces fruit. It accomplishes the purposes for which it was sent. Take time to pray about how God is sending you today.
Thank you for joining us. Special thanks to those who support this ministry with their time, talent, and gifts. If you enjoy this podcast, you can subscribe, share with friends, and on your social media stories. Don't forget to tag us at First United Methodist Church, College Station. Peace and God bless.